Welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the Good Friday message from April 18th, 2014. The message is given by Tom Job from Luke 23.
No one knows the actual day that our Lord died for us. It was the day of the preparation of the Passover. It was a Friday. It was the 14th of the Hebrew month of Nisan. This means it would have been either the year 27 AD, because the only years that happened were the year 27 AD, the year 30 AD, the year 33 AD, or 36 AD. There are many biblical scholars who believe, for other reasons, because of biblical prophecies of the Old Testament, that our Lord died in the year 33 AD, on the 14th of Nisan, or the 3rd of April. If this is true, it was 723,547 days ago. But the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 5 that whatever day it was the perfect time. It was the time of Roman domination and oppression of the people of God. And yet because of them, there were 53,000 miles of new roads, enough roads to go around the world two times. And in the entire empire, one language was spoken. And for the first time in all the world, a message was about to go out into all the world. And it would go out on those roads. And it would be spoken in that language. But there were people who felt like there is nothing good about this time, because Italian soldiers are goose-stepping through the streets of the city of God that was governed by a Roman who was really from Spain, and his name was Pilate, and his nickname was the Butcher of Sevilla. And they were angry. There were people who were angry. They felt they were the people of God. They were the only people in all the world who believed in one God and who believed that this God was the sovereign over all of the universe. Their praise and prayers would begin with Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam, blessed art thou, the Lord our God, the King of the universe, who loved them. Their scripture said, like a father. Their scripture said he loved them with the love of a mother. And yet, to some of them, it didn't seem like he loved them at all. And it seemed like he had lost control of his world. And they were angry and bitter. And they were determined to take care of themselves if he wouldn't, and take control of their destiny. The date of the execution of our Lord was actually not the date of the execution of Jesus. It was originally the date of the execution of a man named Barabbas. Barabbas was, the Gospel of John said, he was a thief. The Gospel of Mark said that he was a notorious criminal. The word notorious can also mean famous, and it can also mean favorite. The Gospel of Mark said he and his friends had murdered people. But Mark said he had murdered people in an insurrection. And some people believe that he and his friends were patriotic insurrectionists and terrorists who had become so angry over the fact that, God, it didn't seem like he cared anymore about his people, or he had lost control of the world, and they began to take things that didn't belong to them, and they killed people. And And on the night before their execution, there may have been one of them, and I don't know this, but there may have been one who just sitting there thinking, I know I've lost my faith in the love of God and feeling like we are having to take care of ourselves, but I never dreamed that I would become this person. I've done things I never dreamed that I would ever do. And in the morning, they heard sandals through the stone hallways and a key and a lock and a door open and a guard say, Barabbas, you're free. And he said, what? And the other guy said, what? He is the one who got me into this. And I know he must have thought that in just a very few minutes, he was going to be heaving timbers down a street with people screaming at him and spitting at him and throwing things at him. And he would be stripped naked in public because it was a thing that was done in public. It was a message for the masses. Thus happens to those who defy our authority. And he would be thrown down and spikes would be hammered into his wrists and into his feet. And he would be hoisted into the air and his cross would fall into an 18-inch hole with a thud and inexplicable pain would scream down neurological highways and explode in his brain. And he would begin the process, the hours and hours and the process of slowly asphyxiating to death as he would push on the nail and the spike in his foot and he would pull on the spikes in his wrist because it was the only way that he could breathe. And scholars tell us that people, when they were being crucified, were in constant motion. And I don't know, but just the sun beating down on him and flies biting him in the bloody wounds. And I don't think he anticipated this, that there would come a point in it where the sun would go out and the temperatures would drop. And if it hadn't been shortened, he would die in the dark, in the hail, in the snow. And, you know, I think about what was he feeling. He was so angry. He was angry at the person beside him who was suffering the same thing that he was suffering. He wasn't really angry at him. I think this is always true. I think he was angry at God because God hadn't taken care of them. And God had lost control of their world. It's not that he had lost control and that he had not cared for them. It's that this man no longer believed it. Someone asked Jesus one time, they said, what do we have to do the work of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one that he has sent. All he's asking us to do is to believe that he loves us, to believe that he's in control. And when people don't believe it, that is why we live in a world that is filled with bitter, angry, murderous thieves. And he just didn't believe it anymore, that God cared for him or that he was in control of his world. And it had come to this. And he was living, because of this, he was living moments of indescribable shame and unbelievable pain and unimaginable hurt that he had caused. I don't know if around, you know, like in the crowd, if there were surviving family members of people that he had killed. Or if, you know, maybe there was a dad who had waited every day and every night for a prodigal son who never came home. And I don't know. You know, I think that he must have felt so confused about, he never intended it, but how did it get to this point? There's a place in the, there was a placard when people were executed by being nailed in such a way that they would bleed and drown to death. There was a placard above them, and it would say the crimes that they did. And his must have said various things. Ours would say, the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, that mine would say, because this man, even though he knew God, he didn't glorify him as God, and he didn't give him thanks. He just didn't believe. He didn't believe that he was loved, and he didn't believe that his Lord was in control of his world. And this is what has happened in his life. He is full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malice, and they are gossips and slanderers. And insolent and haters of God and arrogant and boastful, they invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no faithfulness, no love, and no mercy. And all of a sudden, something happened. And he looked to the one who was suffering beside him. The one who was in the middle of three. And he saw on his board, it said in three languages, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And all of a sudden, he thought, could this be true? He wears a crown, a horrible crown, and blood is flowing down, but could this be true? And people were screaming, he saved others, but he can't save himself. And he started to think, could he be the king? Could this be the king? Could this be the one who saved others? Could this be one who is doing this for me? Is he doing this for us? Is it, maybe he's doing this for us. And he heard him saying, Father, forgive them, over and over. He said, Father, forgive them, forgive them. He's offering forgiveness. Maybe he has some for me. And like, I don't know how it happened, but he was like the only person in all the world who understood what he understood. And he turned to Jesus, a dying man turning to a dying man. And he said, save me. He said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus turned to him and said, today, you're going to be with me. Today, you're going to know what I have always known, that I have always loved you. And I have always been on my throne. Even now, if you weren't naked, you wouldn't feel your shame. If you weren't hurting, you wouldn't have turned to him. If you weren't nailed there, you wouldn't have stayed. And the most painful hours of his entire life became the most beautiful. There's a guy I was reading about. He was a criminal in, he was executed. He was hung, actually, for murder in Japan, 1918. His name was Tokichi Ichi. And he was a horrible criminal. They called him the Tiger. But some women, some single women missionaries, a Miss McDonald and a Miss West, began to visit prisoners in Japan. And they gave him a New Testament. And he said, as he read it, this is what he later said, right before he died, he said, I stopped. He was reading the part where Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he said, I stopped. I was stabbed in my heart as if by a 5-inch nail. What did this verse reveal to me? Shall I call it the love of the heart of Christ? Shall I call it his compassion? I don't know what to call it. I only know that with an unspeakable, grateful heart, I believed in him. And people asked him right at the end of his life if he was scared. And he said, Paul said, as sorrowing and yet always rejoice. People will say that I must have a very sorrowful heart because I am daily awaiting the execution of a death sentence. This is not the case. I feel neither sorrow nor distress or any pain, locked up in a prison cell 6 feet by 9 feet in size. I am infinitely happier than I have ever been all the days of my life. Day and night, I am talking with Jesus Christ. Some of us who love Jesus and who came to love him because we were broken and because we were hurting and because it became very, very confusing to us. And it wouldn't have been, but now we know him. And we love him because it got to a place where he was the only hope we had. And it wouldn't have been the road we would have chosen, but it was the only road there. And if you feel tonight like you're broken and you're hurting and you're confused and you feel ashamed, hold on. You're almost there.
To find out more about Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, visit our website at c3oakridge.org. Again, that's c3oakridge.org.